Oh, okay. Here we go. Caught me off guard. I was in a conversation. It's all right. Well, let me ask this question. If I can get the electronics department back there, back in composure. Lord Jesus. How are we saved? How are we saved? What do you say?
Faith.
By faith. We are all that. Everything else you guys said is also correct. But I wanted to get out of you that it is an act of faith. Amen? Because here's the thing. How many of you said by Jesus? Now, stick your hands up. If you said by Jesus, I want to see your hand. Put them up. Don't be afraid now. All right. Now listen. Listen. Jesus is ready to save us, but unless we activate our faith, it doesn't do any good. Would you agree with that? It's an act of faith. Amen? Because He's always been there. Even when we were living like hell, He was there. But it wasn't until by faith we decided to reach out to Him that He reached out to us. So according to Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, this is what it says. It says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 13, for whoever calls on the Lord, on the name of the Lord, shall be saved. Amen? That's how this whole thing works. These are tools that, as the pastor, those are tools that is my responsibility, my job, to impart to you. If I ask you to come to my house and do a job, and you don't have the tools to do the job with, if I want the job done, I better supply some tools. Amen? And so we have to, my job, according to God's Word, the Bible says that my job is to equip the saints. Who's the saints? You are. My job is to equip the saints for what? What's that? What work? The work of the ministry, the Bible says, that my job is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Amen? For too long, the church has said, well, Pastor, we pay you all the money. You do it. Hey, it's true. But that's not the biblical pattern. The biblical pattern is for me to equip you with the Word of God so that you can go out into the world and make disciples of every nation. Amen? That's my job. So what does it mean to confess? You guys all think I'm asking trick questions. I'm not. What does it mean to confess? To repent? But what is it to confess? I know that we repent and all that. But what does it mean to confess? The word confess means to give verbal affirmation. To give verbal affirmation. And so in this case, it is to acknowledge with my mouth that Jesus died and was raised for me the third day. Anybody can say that we believe in... How about this? Let me just say this. How many of you would say you believe in Jesus? How many of you would say that the devil believes in Jesus? See the difference? There's a difference. He knows who he is and he believes who he is. Anybody can say he or she believes something, but God knows the heart. God knows what our heart is. And so in this confession, it's not enough to merely utter the words. They must be declared. Remember I talked about declaring things and making... And where's Glenda? I talked to Glenda that she has to declare... Well, how you... what are you thinking about your Bible study on Thursday morning? Well, you know, that ain't how it works. I'm going to speak God's word in spirit and in truth and with power. That's the way we have to declare some things. Hello. Oh, that's good. See, anybody can say we believe, but God knows your heart. So to confess isn't enough. It's not enough to just merely utter. How many of you know people have just uttered some words? And it didn't last them until they got out the door. Amen? How many times have people said something just to shut you up? Just to shut you up. Listen, all right, fine. I'll do it. Just so you'll shut up. And we feel like we've won some kind of a battle, when in fact we really didn't. Because they never meant what they said. They only said what they said to shut you up. So it's one thing to just utter some words that must be declared, that must be professed. That's why Sunday morning when we had this altar call, and those young men came to the altar and give their life to Jesus, and about halfway through it, I stopped and started over. You know why? Because they were just, man. I said, no, we've got to declare, you've got to declare this. So, it has to be declared. It has to be professed. It has to be proclaimed from the heart, expressing our full conviction. The gospel message in a nutshell is this. Believe and confess Jesus as Lord and you will be saved. That's it in a nutshell. You want to memorize the gospel of Jesus Christ? There it is. Believe and confess Jesus as Lord and you will be saved. That is the bottom line. You want a scripture to go with it? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him would not perish. And whosoever is all-inclusive. Right? It's all-inclusive. In other words, it means for everybody. Right? The worst of the worst to the best of the best. Whosoever encompasses everybody. Where the division comes in is the next phrase. Believes. He's not willing according to His Word. Remember, God said in His Word, I'm not willing that any should perish, but all should come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But listen, that ain't reality. Amen? I mean, it is reality that that's what He wants, but the reality stops with our humanism. The reality stops with the fact that you and I have a choice. We have a free will. Choose you this day, Joshua said, whom you're going to serve. So we'd have to believe and confess the Lord Jesus Christ and we'll be saved. So there's no reference to works or rituals in this phrase. Hello. There is no reference to works or rituals. The point of decision is between a person and God, but the point of confession implies another person. So have you ever been asked, how do I become a Christian? I've been asked that a number of times. How do I become a Christian? These verses give the answer. Salvation is as close as your own mouth and your own heart. Amen? You don't have to be in this church to get saved. You can be saved down by the river under the bridge. You can be saved up on top of Red Top Lake and get just as saved as you can in this church. But don't disqualify what happens in the church. Because remember, He said to not forsake the fellowshipping together one with another. People think it must be a complicated process, but it's not. How many times have you talked to somebody and they're like, man, there's a lot to this. No, there's not. And believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and you shall be saved. How much work did the thief on the cross do? None? Are you sure? Are you sure? Jesus looked over there to him, and what did he say? Today. They didn't jump off the cross. They didn't run down to the lake and get baptized. They didn't do anything. He didn't lead anybody to Jesus from the cross. He didn't do any of that. He said, today you'll be with me. Why? Because he confessed and he believed. It's not complicated. If we believe in our heart and say with our mouth that Jesus Christ is the risen Lord, we will be saved. But you must first believe with your heart. That belief justifies you. It declares you not guilty of your sin. You want to be the judge of your life? You ever want to be found not guilty? It is the belief process. With your heart, your belief justifies you. God declares you and I not guilty. It is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Amen? So by prayer to God, we confess with our mouth our belief in God and what He has done for us. And as in verse 8 and 9 above, belief and confession lead to, naturally, salvation. Am I helping anybody? So as we've already seen, neither of these components that establish our personal relationship with God can be reduced to reciting certain words or assenting to the facts. To believe and to confess involves whole person commitment. What does that even mean? What does that even mean? That it involves whole person commitment. What does that mean? To believe and confess involve whole person commitment. What is whole person commitment? Carl. Right. He was pretty limited, wasn't he? So, based then on what you said, is he any less saved? The thief. He's just as saved as, say, myself, and I've led lots of people to Jesus and blah, blah, all that stuff. He's just saved as I am. But he's just as saved as I am. That's what I'm trying to get at. There's nothing you and I can do. If we have 10,000 years, there's nothing you and I can do to add to our salvation. Listen, ladies. You cannot be a little bit pregnant. Pardon me? Can you? I mean, you can't be, well, I'm just about pregnant. No. No, you're not. You either are or you're not. And when you are, there ain't a whole lot you can do about it. There is something going on. There's something growing inside of you. And it is going to become a living human. I mean, it is then, but you know what I'm saying? So you can't be just a little bit saved, and you can't be just a little bit pregnant. You can't be just a little bit dead. What? Oh, they're all giggling back there. Dennis, that's the bottom line. It's smoking or non-smoking. It's our choice. It truly is our choice. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. A final quotation taken from the Hebrew scriptures in Joel chapter 2 serves well for Paul's conclusion. Listen, God's special relationship with Israel will continue, but it has been broadened to include you and I, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord. God's plan for Israel had their climax in Christ, and they missed it. Access to God for all people now comes through Jesus Christ. So with this last reference, Paul neatly lays the foundation for the necessity of worldwide evangelism. What's it say in Joel chapter 2 and verse 32? Joel 2:32. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you know what saved literally is? Exactly. Delivered. Delivered from what? This body of sin and death. Amen? So to call on the Lord then, to call on the Lord is to ask the Lord to come to you and be real to you. Those who call on Jesus as their Lord, wanting to be their Lord and their Savior. Here's something that the world doesn't want to hear. In fact, here's something that 90% of the church doesn't want to hear. But this is the truth. If Jesus Christ is not Lord of all, He ain't Lord at all. He wants to be the Lord of your life. He purchased you with the price. He paid the redemption price. He gave His life. He shed His blood. He died, went to the grave, was buried 3 days, resurrected in newness of life, and through that process has redeemed you and I. He satisfied the judgment against us by Almighty God. And when you confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, believed in your heart the Lord Jesus Christ, He redeemed you, He purchased you with His blood, and you are no longer your own. See how quiet it gets right there when you start talking that way? People don't want to hear that. People don't want to contemplate the fact that I can't make choices for myself, basically. I need to... Jesus said... What did Jesus say of the Father? I only do what my Father tells me to do. He wasn't out doing whatever He wanted to do on His own power. Well, I think I'll go do this today. Oh, I think I'll... No, I only do what my Father sends for me to do. Well, yeah, but I want to go and play at the lake today. No, Jesus said you need to come to church and worship me one day. Woo, son, it got quiet right there. You got 6 other days to do that. Jesus said to keep the Sabbath holy. He said to spend, I gave my life for you. Can you not spend, and I mean, let's get real. We start church at 10 o'clock. I usually have you out of here by noon. That's 2 hours. And people are like, how is he ever going to shut up? I mean, come on. I've got a roast in the oven. Listen, let me tell you something. You can eat a burnt roast. I know this because last night, my wife ain't around. I called her on the phone. I found some pork shoulder ribs in the freezer, and I thawed them out. And I said, what am I supposed to do with these? Because I'm a meat and taters kind of guy, and I had these things, I'm not all that crazy, don't know how to fix it. She says, will you do this? So I did that. When that's done, she said, you can put barbecue sauce on, whatever you want. You can either bake them in the oven, or you can take them out and put them on the barbecue. And I said, I'll barbecue them. That's a man thing. Amen? I mean, beat your chest a little bit. Except I was having a flat tire on my log truck, and so I called a mechanic to come by my house on his way home from work to air my tire up so that I could get through today till I could get to a tire shop. Well, guess what? I had just put my ribs on the barbecue, and he showed up. And I was like, they'll be all right. They weren't all right. They weren't all right. I mean, they were all right, but they weren't right when I was done with them. They were black. When I got back to them, they were on fire. That pig fat was dripping out of there. That barbecue sauce was running everywhere. And I mean, it was flaming on. It looked like a forest fire in my barbecue. And I was like, well, that's my dinner. I ain't got plan B, all right? I got to be in bed in 10 minutes. So I ate them. They say that charcoal is good for your digestive system, and mine is in top-notch shape right now. I promise you. Listen, you can let your roast burn. You can still eat that sucker. Wow. Can you guys not contain her over there? Lord, Lord, Lord. Let me tell you something about this right here. God didn't put marble top on cheap furniture, all right? That's right. That's good, wasn't it? I'll be here all night. Oh, man. You know, it's kind of bad when we narrow it down to it's two hours on Sunday. And it's 1 hour on Wednesday. And if we're not careful, we will allow the pressures of life to invade us and to bump us even out of our 2 hour time frame that God just wants to spend with some intimate time with you and I. Amen? When we're having worship and John is just playing and he just keeps playing and keeps playing, it ain't because he doesn't know what to do. It ain't because he don't know where to go. It's not because pastor doesn't have that much to preach about, so I'm killing some time. It ain't about any of that. He's worshiping the Lord and listening for the Lord before he moves on. And I've told him that's exactly what I want him to do. I don't want to sing three songs, a chorus and a hymnal, and we're done. That's not the way worship is. Worship should be unscripted. Worship should be, God, I'm just worshiping you. Where is she's not even here. Susie got up here with her little with those flags and stuff. We had the folks here from Powers the other day, and they got in the back and they were doing their, and it was like, man, that's what we need. People to express worship outside of just sitting in our little chair, singing our little song, and not moving. David danced naked before the Lord. I'm not advocating anything. I'm not. But I am saying, if we can't chisel out 2 hours of time on Sunday to worship the Lord, we are in trouble. We are in trouble. To call on the Lord is to ask the Lord to come to you and be real to you You want to know when He's going to come to you? When you're in the depths of worship. When you are crying out to God. He's going to come and He's going to be near to you. Those who call on Jesus as their Lord want Him to be their Lord and Savior. Isaiah 59 verse 1 and 2 says this, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, nor His ear heavy, that He cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you, so that He will not hear you." Church, we've got to keep short accounts. If you blow it, confess it. If you're not living in a right relationship with Jesus, confess it. Ask Him to come and help you. Jesus, in John chapter 3 and verse 3, Jesus answered and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven." There's only one way to get to heaven, and that is through Jesus. There's no alternative. Acts chapter 3, 19 and 20 says this, "Repent therefore and be converted." Converted from what? Converted from your old selfish sinful lifestyle to a right relationship, walking pure and holy and blameless before God. How in the world do we do that in the world that we live in today? Because let's face it, how many blew it today? So what do we do when we blow it? We go right back to God and we say, "Father, forgive me." And what's the rest of it? He is faithful and just to forgive us and to from. He's faithful. Repent and be converted that your sins might be blotted out. So that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. So in John, in Isaiah 59 verse 2 says, "Your iniquities have separated you from your God." What are iniquities? Sins. What does it mean to be separated? You're separated. You're removed one from another. So if my sin has separated me from God and my sins have hidden His face from you, then repent and be converted that your sins would be blotted out so that times of refreshing may come from what? The presence of the Lord, and that He may send Jesus who was preached to you before. So we see that our sin has separated us from God, but when we confess and repent, what happens? The sin is blotted out. And what is the result of that? The refreshing of the presence of the Lord comes back to us. Isn't that worth fighting for? Remember on Sunday when I talked about the difference between heaven and hell? And that hell, as bad as hell is going to be, and the gnashing of the teeth and the worms and the bugs and the fire and all the gnashing of teeth and all those kinds, as bad as that is, that ain't what makes hell hell. What makes hell hell is that God ain't there. We're separated eternally from the presence of God. And then I reversed it and I talked about how beautiful heaven is and gates of pearl and streets of gold and rivers of living water and trees of life and all these kinds of things. It's so fantastic, but that ain't what makes heaven heaven. What makes heaven heaven is the fact that God's there and Jesus is there. You realize that there's not going to be a sun, there's not going to be a moon, there's not going to be stars, there's not, because it's going to be daytime all the time, and the light of Jesus is what's going to illuminate. There's no shadows. Can you wrap your mind around that? No shadows. Why is there no shadows? Because the reason why we have the shadows is even though it looks completely light in here, the light's only coming from certain areas. And when you're outside and your body casts a shadow, it's because you're between the sun and the earth, and it's the light's hitting this side of you, and it's casting a shadow there. But the light of Jesus is going to be what? Omnipresent. Everywhere, all the time, all at once. I mean, it's going to be worth that. Heaven's going to be worth just seeing that. Amen? I'm telling you that He may send Jesus who was preached to you. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Why is that? Why is verse 9 even there? What? You see what I did? Huh? Hey. How many people did you lead to Jesus today? Because I got four. Top that. Works. I'm going to be, you know, that's what it, no! It's got nothing to do with it. And the reason why is because we go to bragging about it. For by grace you've been saved through faith, not of yourself. Gift of God. Nope. You can do whatever you want. Your works aren't going to save you. We need to study the Word, yes. We need to study the Word so that we know what it says and it deepens our relationship with Jesus, but it's not works. It's not works. Well, what is the Bible? It very well might, but that don't make it works. The Bible is God's letter to us. Listen, let me tell you something. Let me break the news to you if you don't already know this. You start courting a woman, you better learn some things about her. Amen. And when you do, when you begin to learn about this woman, you'll learn the things that she likes. You'll learn the things that she doesn't like. Let me just go with this, all right? Let me just, no commentary. You understand what I'm talking about? And as you do that, what happens? You develop relationship. Relationship is vital in any relationship. Amen? Show me it in Scripture, Dennis. Thank you. All right. Yeah. Christ wants a relationship with us. And just like you courted your girlfriend or your boyfriend or your husband or your wife, you put time and effort into it. Amen? I'm hoping you did that. The same way that we are in a relation, we are in a relationship with Jesus. And I think Carl said at the onset of this Bible study tonight, he talked about seeking the Lord. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33 says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." But it comes from a desire to seek Him. It comes from a desire to spend time with Him. Amen? Just like you reap rewards from your wife, whether it's a breakfast cooked or a lunch packed or the laundry done and folded or whatever it may be, you can look at that. You can listen to me. You can look at that as works. Well, that's her job, which will probably get you in trouble. Or you can look at it as an act of love that she does because she loves me, and because she's done that, that is compelling me to go out and do this or mow the lawn, take the garbage out, maybe even wash the dishes or vacuum the floor. Listen, that ain't a, men, you ought not be above that. Is this working?
Hello?
The same way you spend time seeking the Lord, you spend time ministering to people and telling people about the love of the Lord, I got news for you. He's going to be right there when you talk to Him. Amen? Let me wrap this up. I want to give you some tools for witnessing. How many of you know that your job is to witness? That's your job. How do I know it's your job? Because God said so. Where did He say so? He said so. What? He said it in Matthew chapter 28, toward the end. Go ye. Who's ye? Ha! Ye be ye. Go ye into where? All the world. And preach the gospel. You need some tools. What's the number one tool you need for witnessing? Your Bible. Your Bible. Have you ever grabbed somebody else's Bible and tried to find something? It's a mess. Like, what? Does your Bible not even have this or what? Yeah, it's in there. It's just not your sword. Have your Bible, your favorite Bible. Get a Bible, learn it, mark it up. Key verses, highlight them, underline them, write notes. This poor thing here is falling apart, and I keep wanting to get a new one, but I don't want to get rid of this one. I mean, it's a mess, but I can find, just like I just went to Joel, and I mean, it just popped right open to Joel, because it's my Bible. I've spent some time with it. Get a good Bible. Bible tracks. Bible tracks are kind of a lost tool, but they're still out there, and they're still very effective. Bible tracks. No, I'm talking about just little cards that you can just leave on the restaurant table or in the bathroom or wherever. It's just very brief, very concise. This is how you get saved, or where are you going? If you died today, where are you going to go? Conversation starters, little tracks. You can get them from the bookstore, and they'll help you get your message across. Here's one: memorize the Word. Memorize God's Word. Well, Pastor, I can't memorize Scripture. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You know how I know you can? Because I have. The Holy Spirit will bring it to you, but on top of that, you can memorize Scripture. I have the hardest time memorizing things, but I've got a bunch of Scriptures locked away up here that I can bring to recall because of memorization that are powerful Scriptures. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6 is one of them. He who began a good work in you Amen? He is faithful to work. He's working on you. He's going to complete it in the day of Jesus Christ. He's never done working on you and I. Psalm 37, 23 and 24, the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. And though he stumble, he's not utterly cast down, for the arm of the Lord upholds him. John 3, 16, for God so loved the world. I mean, you can do it if you will. God, I can't memorize Scripture very well at all. I really struggle with it. But Lord, Pastor said I really need to do this. And I want to be effective minister for you. I want to be effective witness for you. I want to be an effective evangelist. Lord, would you help me as I try and memorize this verse of Scripture? Would you help to lock it in my brain? Guess what? James chapter 1 and verse 5. Another one that I've memorized. You want to know what it says? It says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who will give it to you, basically without measure is what it's saying. You ask God, please help me. I want to be effective for you. Just start with one. You don't have to memorize a whole chapter. Just get one verse. Lock it in. Use it. Use it. John 3:16. How many of you know John 3:16? How many of you know John 3:16? I would like for you to put your hand in the air so I can see that you do. That is a vital scripture for evangelizing. Where are you going when you die? I don't know. Well, I've got some news for you. Really, what's that? You ever heard of God? I have. Have you heard of His Son Jesus? I have. Well, do you know that God sent His only begotten Son? So that whoever, anybody, if anybody would believe on Him, that they wouldn't perish, but He would save them? That includes you, as messed up as you are. You can be real with them, because they already know they're messed up. Don't do it in a condemning way, but do it in an uplifting kind of a way. And you can. Even as bad as you may feel like your life is, as horrible as you think your life might be, I'm telling you, God said in His Word that God said, that God gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, your whosoever, if you believe in Him, and I'm not just talking about believe by like knowing about Him. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about to really believe. To believe is more than just believing. It's giving, it's fleshing it out. It's like, man, I'm making a declaration here. I believe that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, and I'm that one. He'll save me. Yeah. Do that. Memorize the Word. These verses that I just talked about are great places to start. And remember this. The Holy Spirit is the one who will give you the words and speak through you. I'm not a good memorizer. I don't know if that's even a word. But I'm not one. I'm not good at memorizing Scripture. But you know what? I've read the Bible enough times. I've read those passages enough times that when I'm in the moment, when I'm preaching, you can ask these girls that back here that run my PowerPoint, because every time I have a Scripture, I have it highlighted, little yellow marks like that. And anytime that there's a highlighted mark or a highlighted piece, that's good right there. See how that's highlighted? That's going to be on the screen. That was on the screen already. But how many times, you can ask them, how many times has Pastor said something that hadn't been on the, that hasn't been on there? Because it just comes out. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. It just comes flowing out. The Holy Spirit's the one that gives you the words and speaks through you. Look at what it says in Matthew chapter 10, verses 18, 19, and 20. You will be brought forth before governors and kings for my sake, as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour that you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. That's what I'm talking about. If you'll get in God's Word, if you'll read God's Word, if you'll study God's Word, if you'll put it inside of you, when you're in that moment, God's Spirit will quicken you and that Word will just come up. And you'll walk off an hour later and you'll be like, where in the world did that come from? How did I even know all that? You probably didn't know it, but you read it. You put it in you, and the Holy Ghost brought it up out of you. Amen? Most importantly, we need to remember that it is the Lord. The Lord is the one who adds to the church daily, according to Matthew, or according to Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. Listen to what it says right here. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. What does it say? The Lord added to the church daily. Do you know if you drop ahead about two more chapters, that word changes? That word changes. What word? The word added. The word added changes. You know what it changes to? Anybody? I'll do the preaching. You are spot on. It goes from addition to multiplication. He said in this verse, the Lord added to the church. And in about two chapters down, I can't give you chapter and verse, but I know that it's right in there, about two chapters, maybe three. He said, the church began to multiply. How many of you know you can get further multiplying than you can adding? You get there quicker by multiplying than by adding. And it's a very short period of time between the Lord added to the church daily and the church began to multiply. And church, I believe that we are in the multiplication process right now. We are seeing the church multiply. Look at Sunday morning, for crying out loud. I don't even know how many people were here, but there was a bunch. There wasn't very many empty seats in this place. Why? Because the Lord, even in the midst of the mess that's going on, the Lord is raising up His church. The Lord is drawing people in, and the church is beginning to multiply. Amen? And it will continue to multiply as you take these things that we have instructed and that we have begun to teach and that we have taught to you. If you'll take those things and go out, listen, what we're talking about isn't meant for in here. It's meant for out there. And so we got to take it to the streets. Got to take it outside. You ever heard anyone take it outside? Actually, I do. Let's go. Amen? This has been a great Bible study. I'll be very honest with you. I've almost contemplated just starting it over. Because I can promise you, if I started it over next week, you won't even know that it's the same thing that we've already studied. Because it will impact you differently. But I'm not sure that's what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I know this is powerful, and I know the truth of the matter is there's so many of you in here today that weren't here when we started. Carl, I don't even think you were there when we first started this one. I know you were coming periodically over in the other building, but I know Cindy wasn't. I know Bob and Janice. I don't think you guys were even here when we first started this Bible study. You weren't. No. Kathy. You guys were. It's probably been 2 years ago. I don't know if you were here either. Anyway, that's And the truth is, I could have not even told you that and just started doing it and you'd be none the wiser. That's just the truth. But you pray and I want to do what God wants me to do. Amen? That's all I care about, what God wants. And in about 2.5-3 weeks, one thing that He wants is going to come to fruition. I'm going to turn the keys of that old log truck over and I'm going to be no longer driving log truck. And that's a scary thing. I'm going to hold you to that, brother. Any questions, church? Any comments? Yes, sir. You'll be frustrated. Well, and you need to go back to Matthew 10. Remember what I said in Matthew 10? But when they deliver you up, don't worry how you should speak or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in the hour that you should speak, for it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. And it's the same way. I can't do nothing. I can't add one day, one hour, one minute, one second to my life. It's all up to God. And when He's done with me, He's done with me. And the only thing that He's required of me is to be ready. That's all I can do. Is be ready. And when I say be ready, I'm not talking about just go out and sit and say, okay, Lord, here I am. I'm ready whenever. You know, I'm going to sit right here. We're way beyond hold the fort till Jesus comes. We have to go out and take the land. Amen? Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. Sure. I do. Isn't that amazing? Okay. Are you done? Okay, good. Because something else has happened. Remember what you said 10 minutes ago? I do. Anybody else? Does anybody else know what's going on right here? you said, sir, that you can't memorize Scripture. Didn't you? Didn't you say that? He did say that. And what did he just do? Oh, in the book of Nehemiah, this is what it says. Blah, 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 blah. So, that's my point. I love you, man. I love you. He's one of my greatest illustrations. Because we can have this kind of banter relationship back and forth, because that's what you said. And the rest of us, a lot of us, have said the exact same thing, but I'll bet you if we begin to push and press one another, there would become Scripture would come. You've got stuff to start with. Add to it. Add to it. Thanks for sharing that. That was awesome. Amen? Listen, man, I love every one of you. I'm so glad to have you guys with us, and you guys, it's just wonderful to have you back here with us, and you're always welcome. We love to have you every Sunday and Wednesday. But listen, we're grateful to have you with us by way of the internet as well tonight. We thank you for taking a few minutes and dropping by. Be praying that God would have His way. Chuck, get up in the name of Jesus and be endued with strength. Endued with strength. Fatigue, gone in the name of Jesus. Amen? Thank you for it, Lord. Father, I love you. I worship you, and I praise you. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for all that you're doing in us. Lord, I see great things happening in your body and in your people. And Lord, I just ask, God, that tonight this word, as we've wrapped this Bible study up, God, that you would just bring the increase, Lord. Bring it to our remembrance, Lord. Give us opportunities to witness and to glorify you and to bring somebody to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Lord, that we could physically watch the church be added to daily and then watch it begin to multiply. And Father, I just thank you for it. I give you all the praise and the glory and the honor for all of it. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. God bless you one and all. Amen. Ladies, have a great Bible study in the